Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. It's always great to have our buddy Donny Osmond on the program. He's starting his big direct from Las Vegas tour starting in June. And so far, it looked on the website like 46 cities. And Donnie's here with us. Donny, how you doing?
I'm good, Randy. How you doing?
Great to see you again, man.
Good to see you, too.
You ready for the tour?
I'm getting ready for this big tour. It's a big one.
Yeah. Now, you do thousands of interviews. Okay. I want to remind you who I am. Do you remember me?
I can't remember what I do remember you, but I don't remember.
Okay.
Where?
Okay. So, I did a morning show here in Kansas City for a long time, and you were coming into town, and I convinced the mayor to make it Donny Osmond Day. And you came by the studio, and this is when you were going through the "Don't Call Me Donny" stage.
Right. The soldier of love.
The
transition.
Soldier of love. And so, I said, hey, Donny, how are you? And he goes, you go, it's Don. And I said, well, okay, Don. So, you know, when you did Puppy Love and you said, no, I don't want to talk about any of that. I'm here to talk about Soldier of Love.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, I want to talk about some other stuff. You got up and left. So we played.
I did?
You got up and left, and we had the mayor pro tem coming in to give you this award. And so for an hour and a half, we played Puppy Love back to back to back to back until you came back. And you were Donny again.
You were you're kidding me.
You were the guy that
doesn't sound like something I would do.
I told the last time I had your sister on here, I told Maria about that, and she just kind of – she kind of rolled her eyes and she said, yeah, I remember that. I remember Donny going through that phase.
Yeah, to be honest with you, Randy, it was a tough phase because when you're going from a teeny bopper career and trying to become a mature artist,
right,
everybody just kind of pigeonholes you. And I do vaguely remember this moment. And I have to be honest with you, Randy, I was really upset with you because you were one of the people. Because there were quite a few around the country. Cleveland Wheeler in Tampa was another guy.
Right.
But you were just like, no, you're a teeny bopper and that's all you're going to be.
It's all you're going to be.
It drove me crazy.
Well, you've embraced it now. You know
why?
Well,
that's interesting you use that word because I could strongly admit I have embraced it because something happened to me, Randy. Probably shortly after our encounter, I was in New Jersey at the Count Basie Theater, and people in the audience wanted me to sing Puppy Love, and I didn't want to do it.
Right.
So finally, I just got fed up with it, and I turned around. I looked at the audience and said, you want Puppy Love? You got Puppy Love. And I turned around to the band off mic, and I said, guys, give me a heavy metal version of Puppy Love.
Really?
And the band did that. Oh, yeah. And they said, oh, this is great. Da-da-da-da. I fell to the ground, hitting the stage.
Oh,
long
my gosh.
Story short.
Oh, my gosh.
At the end of the show, I'm walking out the stage door, and this lady grabs me, and she says, why did you make fun of Puppy Love? And I said in a very cocky kind of way, probably like I was with you, I said, it's my song. I could do whatever I want to with it. And then she said something, Randy, that changed me. It was that moment that absolutely changed me, stopped me in my tracks. She said, Donny, you may have had a hit with Puppy Love, but that song was a big part of my childhood memories, and you have no right to mess with my memories. And it changed me so much. In fact, Puppy Love is the second song in my set list.
Well, and I'm sure
the part where I sing, someone help me, I used to make fun of that. I don't make fun of it anymore, buddy, because it was a big part of my, it brought me to where I am today. How can I make fun of it? So I've embraced that whole thing. That's what this show is all about. Yeah. It encompasses all six decades of my career, including Puppy Love.
65 albums.
65 albums, yeah.
65 albums. Yeah, it's amazing, Donny. We're talking to Donny Osmond here in the National Defense, and it's amazing to me how not only the breadth and depth of your career, but this catalog of music that you have at your disposal now. I mean, it's just amazing. And your stamina to be able to go out there and perform it, not only in your residency in Las Vegas, but also on tour through 46 cities so far. I mean, a guy on Medicare should not be able to move like you. Honestly.
Well, that's what keeps me going is because I try to keep up with my my dancers. Wait till you see the dancers.
Oh, wow.
I've got eight of the best dancers on stage. And when you win Dancing with the Stars, people expect some dancing.
Right, right.
So we give it to them, man. And the section that we were talking about earlier, I put all 65 albums on the screen behind me. And for like 15 to 20 minutes, the audience can request any song I've ever recorded. And I'll 65 albums, and we do it just like that. So the show changes every night. It is nonstop for 2 hours.
I mean, could I request the metal version of Puppy Love?
You got it.
Because you are coming to Kansas City. You're going to be in Kansas City in June.
Well, yeah, and yeah. I'm definitely going to Q39. That is,
probably
one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah, I just had
I got to get some burnt ends.
Yeah, I just had a fight with a guy in North Carolina that I was interviewing, and he said, I'm coming in for a Chiefs game. And I said, well, I'll take you for some real barbecue. And he goes, oh, man. He said, you've never had North Carolina barbecue. And I said, yes, I have. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hard to beat Kansas City barbecue.
So, Donnie, now this show is for active duty military veterans and their families. We're on over 300 stations around the country in Armed Forces Radio Network. I want to say a special tribute to your dad, Sergeant George Osmond, served in World War II. Man, yes. That's fantastic.
He was an amazing man. He came from absolutely nothing, and he was stationed over in England, and he was in charge of building these runways for all of the bombers.
Oh, wow.
And I actually have a picture of the runway that he built. Some of it has been covered up and built over, but you can still see the outline of it. The most amazing man, he was kicked out of his house when he was a teenager by his stepdad and threatened to be killed. And this guy was absolutely didn't have a penny to his name. And look what he did. Look at the legacy that this man created.
Did he talk and about his service? Because a lot of those guys...
Yeah, he did.
A lot of those guys don't.
Well, he gave me bits and pieces because he said it was really, really tough. But he was revered as a sergeant because everybody loved him. He got on the level of everyone else. Yes, he was certain people's superior, but he just was a likable guy and a likable sergeant. And when in his funeral, he had a 21-gun salute, and I have. I'm sorry. I've got to get this off the wall. One second. I got to show you.
Yeah.
This is important for all of your listeners to see if they're watching. But these are his.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. The reflection is kind of difficult, but
talk about
those are some of the shells from his 21 gun salute.
Oh, talk about a wall of medals too.
And that's one of my prized possessions.
Oh,
my oldest son, Don Jr., he made that for me. He did all the research.
That's so cool.
And, he found so much about my father that I never knew and made that plaque for me.
That's
one of my prized possessions I keep here in my office.
And he always liked Merrill best.
No, he liked me best.
Okay. Talking to Donnie Osmond here in the National Defense. Hey.
You haven't changed,
listen,
have you?
Listen, you're the perfect person to have on this show, too, because you're a soldier. You're a soldier of love.
Oh, man, you are clever. Soldier of love. You know, it's kind of interesting. Puppy love to soldier of love. That was the campaign back in those days when I walked out of your studio.
What are you, Donnie?
Love that. You know, I'm proud of myself that I did that.
It's one of the things that people still remind me about in Kansas City, and because we're based in Kansas City, and I mean, people, the day that Donnie walked out, remember that?
Right. That's right.
And actually,
you were being kind of a jerk, but you know what? I dished it back. So, but look at us
you
now. Dude.
I know. I
look
know. You
now.
Came back. You're a good guy. You changed. You found out that you couldn't do a Soldier of Love 92 times in your show. I'm gonna do the rest of it. You know what I was singing today?
What were you singing?
Down by the Lazy River, man.
Down by the Lazy River. But here's a little story. You remember the beloved Dick Clark? Mm-hmm. He was such a dear friend of mine.
Hey, Dick Clark used to come to town, and we'd do a show from his American Bandstand restaurant here.
Really?
Yes.
Well, on his deathbed, he made a list of the best summer songs ever written in history. And I believe Down by the Lazy River was in the top 10.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That was a great song.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a breakout thing for the Osmonds at the time. And what was the other one with the crazy horses? Yes.
Down by the Lazy River was the beginning stages of showing people what the Osmonds were really all about.
Right.
And because One Bad Apple was the first one, and it's an R&B type of group. And then Donny Osmond had the bubblegum. So the Osmonds are bubblegum. The Osmonds are for little teenagers. But then we started recording things like Crazy Horses and Hold Her Tight and released an album called The Plan. And it was just like, what is this?
Right.
And now keep this in mind. I was recording The Puppy Loves and Go Away Little Girls and all that kind of stuff. At the same time, I was recording Crazy Horses and Down by the Lazy River. And stuff.
Wow.
So I was doing the spectrum.
And did
at the same time
were some of those Puppy Love fans were they mad that you guys took a different direction?
Were those two separate? It was quite interesting because the guys, even though their sisters and girlfriends were into Donny Osmond and that teeny bopper thing,
right.
The guys were secretly, and I found this out years and years later. Had so many closet guy fans from the rock and roll. In fact, Ozzy Osbourne told me that Crazy Horses was one of his favorite rock and roll songs of all time. Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty strong.
It does. Simon Le Bon, Duran Duran, is my mic correct?
Yeah.
Simon even told me that he wanted me to come out on tour with Duran Duran and come out and do Crazy Horses with them. I did a show with Dweezil Zappa. And I was like the surprise artist. I was at the Whiskey A Go Go in
with Dweezil Zappa,
and I'm hidden backstage because I did a song, "Staying Alive," the Bee Gees "Staying Alive" rock version on one of his albums, and so I was sitting in the wings, and he says, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring out a surprise guest artist to do this next song." And everybody said, "Oh, I wonder who it's going to be. Please welcome to the stage, Donny Osmond." Dude, you could hear a pin drop. And I walk out on stage and everybody's thinking, what is he doing on stage with Dweezil Zappa? Right. So I'm next to Dweezil. He says, "Okay, you ready?" I said, "I'm ready." 1, 2, 3. And we go into... "You can tell by the way I do my walk, I'm a woman's man." And I go, and the faces
of
the crowd.
Wow.
The jaws were on the floor. And then all of a sudden, about 10 or 15 seconds after I'm into this thing with Dweezil, the place erupts.
Oh, wow.
The place goes crazy. And so love doing stuff like that.
Oh, how cool.
And so, it's like, I was doing all kinds of music.
It's like you being a peacock.
Back in those days.
Like you being a peacock on Masked Singer. I mean, that blew everybody away.
That was the coolest thing. Show! It was a way to open that. I was the very first Masked Singer. I started that whole franchise. And nobody had an idea that was Donny Osmond. And when I took that mask off, it was like, no, what?
That is so cool. Let's get back to your workout routine, man. I mean, you got to be, you know, for a 46 city tour, that's you got to be working out like crazy, right?
Well, you'd have to see the show, but that's my workout because it's just like dancing and the moving, but I do work out, obviously.
I mean, you're 66?
Yep.
66.
What's that?
You're 66?
66, yeah.
I'm 64. I pulled a groin muscle today, and it wasn't even mine.
You know, there's 2 million comedians out of work, and you're trying to be funny?
you take your shots. You know, you take your shots. And you're going back.
Yeah, I might use that line one of these days.
You'll use it.
I'll credit you.
Going back to theater in December, right? Are you getting back into theater? Joseph?
Well, Andrew Lloyd Webber asked me if I wanted to play Joseph again, but as the Pharaoh this time, because, you know, I've had it with the loincloth. I'm not going to put the loincloth on anymore. But can you imagine how fun that's going to be?
Oh, man.
And the cool thing about doing it in Edinburgh, Scotland, is that's where Joseph was originated. That's where it debuted back in 79, I think it was, 70, something like that. And so I'm going to be channeling my inner Elvis when I play the Pharaoh, baby.
You gotta believe
and can
it.
You imagine the lines that I can come up with when the Pharaoh meets Joseph, whoever's playing. They're auditioning people right now to see who's going to be the Joseph.
Right.
But the lines that I can say, hello, Joe. See that loincloth? Feel your pain, buddy. You know, whatever it might be. It's going to be so fun to hit that stage again in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor. One of the biggest things of my entire career.
Now, I'm sure you've been to Scotland. We went a couple of years ago. What a great.
Oh, it's great. I love it in Scotland.
Yeah.
It's great there.
Yeah. It's like Outlander comes to life. Outlander comes to, you get over there.
I did a concert at the Edinburgh Castle years and years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of the most exciting. The place was completely sold out. It's outdoors. It was raining like cats and dogs. We're videoing this thing for DVD.
Oh, it's outdoors?
It was outdoors at the castle. And man, I'm channeled all my prayers as much as I could. Dude, you're not going to believe this. It stopped raining just before the show.
Oh, wow.
It was perfect. The clouds opened up. It was a perfect night. We do the last show. We close the show. It starts raining. Unbelievable.
Oh, no.
It was like divine intervention.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Let's clear the way for Donnie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, you know, so I've talked to Marie before about entertaining the troops, and she actually went with Bob Hope.
And, she did.
And entertain the troops. Have you done some of that? Yes, have you gone to any bases or anything?
Bob never invited me because I don't look that good in a dress.
I beg to differ.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's funny, though. I can't imagine. I'm excited to go to your show because the audience has to be just everywhere, right? I mean, kids... 65, 70. I mean, it's got to span decades.
It's pretty interesting. Every time I look out into the crowd, say, for instance, in my residency in Las Vegas, and I know I'm going to experience the same thing on this summer tour. Primarily, I mean, let's be honest with each other. It's what I call the puppy lovers that have grown up with me. But there are so many younger people.
I was just going to say the puppy lovers and their kids and their grandkids.
That's exactly right. Yeah. The other night, I had this 9 and 12-year-old brothers, and they had on the peacock shirt. All they knew me was from The Masked Singer.
Right.
And then I had these 30-year-olds that know me from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat or Mulan. Every time Mulan, it's kind of like every once in a while you see, that was you? So a lot of people don't know that I'm Captain Shang in Mulan.
Right.
And I got permission from Disney to actually utilize the original footage on the stage us. And we choreographed it to where we're doing the same stick fight dancing as Captain Shang behind me and all of the other people. It's really, really cool.
That's pretty cool. And I know that you don't do a Q&A at the end of your show, but you have like a little pre-show deal that you do on this tour, a little VIP.
Yeah, the VIP experience, It's actually become something that a lot of people in Las Vegas are kind of copying because there was the the meet and greets, the typical meet and greets. You stand in line, get a picture, and boom, next. I call it the love and shove.
Yeah.
But when COVID hit, Caesars Entertainment, they said we don't want to do any more of those because of COVID. I said I got to do something, so I came up with this idea of doing a show before the show. And we'll sing songs, tell stories, and it's very intimate. It's like 50 people is all. And it's a lot of people in the Vegas area are kind of like copying that format.
I'll bet.
Because people really want that other experience from a star. And yes, when you're on stage, you're a celebrity. You carry a certain air about you. People want to see a celebrity, a star on stage. But what's really intriguing to a lot of people is that this allows me to show a completely different side to my life.
Right.
And the, one of the reasons why I like to do this is when I met Elvis for the first time, well, on the very first time, I had watched him at the Hilton. Actually, it was the International in Vegas at the time.
How old were you?
And I was 14, I think, 13, 14 years old. And we were playing the next night, so we followed Elvis. So I watched the King of Rock and Roll on stage, and the place was on fire, man. He had the audience right in the palm of his hand. Ronnie Tutt on drums, and the band was amazing. So the next night, I'm in his dressing room with my brothers getting ready. 10 minutes before the show starts, the door opens up, and Elvis walks in. And he says to all of us in the room, he says, "Hi, everybody, I'm Elvis Presley." And I remember thinking to myself, dude, we know your name. You don't even have to introduce yourself. Right. But the fact that he was that humble to introduce himself, and he would send us flowers every opening night that we'd be there at the Hilton in the shape of a guitar. Just the nicest guy. My point is that at 14 years old, and I'm having number one records and all this kind of stuff, the King of Rock and Roll walks in the room, a humble guy, just like the guy next door.
It
affected me so much.
Made it impressive.
That's why I like doing these pre-shows.
Yeah.
Is because it shows a whole different side to stardom.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, Donnie. We're talking to Donny Osmond here in the National Defense because I've been a part of the meet and greet or the love and shove, like you say. And it's amazing what fans come away with, I think, on that, because you get such limited time. I remember when Tim McGraw, I was in Atlanta, wherever I was fired, we're doing the meet and greet, and he had just kind of
walk out on YouTube,
and but he was kind of a shy guy. Because he was just kind of starting out, but because of his shyness, everybody that we had taken for the radio station thought he was an idiot. Why is the guy, you know, so because you get that limited exposure with them and you form your own impression in about 2 seconds.
Yep. So, Shania Twain's the same way.
Yeah.
Very, very shy.
Yep.
But on stage, she's amazing. And a lot of artists are that way. But when you get to know them and you see that personal side, they're so relatable. And like right after this interview, I've got to take out the trash and I'm doing yard work. I love that because it gives me balance. I remember a phone conversation I had with Michael Jackson. He called me one time. I was on tour and he basically asked me, how do I bring normalcy into my life? And I said, Mike, why don't you come to Utah? Come to my house. Nobody know you're there. The kids can swim in my swimming pool with my kids and have a great time. And I'm going to give you a weekend of normalcy. And he said, I really need that right now. And he never took me up on it. And that was the last time I spoke with him.
So I'm swimming in Donny Osmond's pool with my kids in Utah. That does sound very normal.
You have to. I mean, I've seen way too many of my peers and colleagues lose it because, I mean, let's be honest with each other. Show business is a really exciting business when it works.
Right.
I mean, there's some bad sides to it as well. And there's so many things that come across my desk that I would love to do, but I have to turn them down because the first thing that's going to go to the wayside when you get busy is your family. It's the easiest thing to say, I've got to do this gig. I'll be back tomorrow. Well, sometimes tomorrow never comes. And those kids grow up, your grandkids grow up, and you lose it. And I've seen way too many people put show business in front of the foundation of your life.
And you've been married to Debbie for what, 46 years?
It's 46 years,
46 years. You got 5 kids and 14 grandchildren. Congratulations.
And only 2 of those. Now, this is interesting. We have 5 children, all boys. And out of the 14 grandkids, only 2 are girls. We have no idea how to make girls in this family.
Now, are any of your kids into music?
Actually, some of them, they've got great voices. One of my sons, Chris, he was on this show called Claim to Fame on ABC last year. And he actually did a great, I thought he should have won. But he's got aspirations to be in the business. Now, the interesting thing about that question is that having me as a dad or a grandpa, they see the inside scoop and the work that it takes not only to get a career but also to maintain a career. You don't just make it in the business and say, okay, I've made it and I'm going to coast. Some people do that and eventually they see whatever happened to my career. Well, you got to keep doing this. You got to go on a 46 city tour every summer. Yeah. You got to do the residency in Las Vegas. You got to do the, you know, the 66th album. In fact, speaking of that, I got to do, I think, three more albums and then I'll beat Elvis's record.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's two or three, either tie or beat him.
And when you get to the age 70 and you have 70 albums, that's when you get to open the theater in Branson.
No.
No. All right. Donnie, thank you so much again for coming on, man. You can find all the information about the Direct from Las Vegas tour at Donnie.com, and that's where you can sign up for the VIP experience too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything Donnie is on Donnie.com.
So when you come to Kansas City, I'll take you to Q39.
Uh-huh. I'll have dinner with you.
We'll hang
and
out.
And I'll walk out and let you pay for the bill.
Perfect. Perfect.
Nothing's changed, has it?
No, it hasn't. No. Thank you, Donnie. We'll be right back here in the National Defense.